Good morning, and welcome to the Friday edition of Times the Brief. I'm Harvey Kojan, and these are the top stories of the day.
CNN cuts ties with Jeffrey Lord after Nazi salute tweet by Abigail Adams. Jeffrey Lord is out at CNN. The cable network cut ties with one of its most controversial pro-Trump pundits on Thursday, hours after Lord tweeted the words Sieg Heil at a well-known liberal activist, CNN said. Nazi salutes are indefensible, a CNN spokesperson said, according to the network. Jeffrey Lord is no longer with the network. Lord has repeatedly clashed with Angelo Carosone, who is president of the liberal group Media Matters for America. The pair argued this week about Media Matters' past financial support from George Soros, and Lord wrote about the dispute in his column for the American Spectator, where he called Carosone's group the Media Matters fascists. When Lord tweeted the column at Carosone, the activist told Lord his headline had a mistake in it. Media Matters would have to be abbreviated MMF for Lord's fascist's nickname instead of the correct abbreviation MMFA. Why do you expect anyone to take you seriously when you don't take yourself seriously? Carosone tweeted. Lord's response was, Sieg Heil. After tweeting the Nazi salute, Lord insisted that he was actually opposing Nazis and fascists by calling out Carosone and his group, who he accused of stifling Fox host Sean Hannity's free speech. Media Matters has been encouraging advertisers to boycott Hannity's show. Lord appeared to respond to the controversy around his tweet on Thursday afternoon, tweeting out a simple LOL.
Eclipses are happening all the time. You just need to know where to look. By Jeffrey Kluger and Ann Most. Look up at the sky right now, or at least if right now is nighttime, and gaze around for a few seconds. Done? Okay, you've just seen an eclipse. Actually, you've probably seen a lot of eclipses. Most of the time, we think of eclipses as the rare, spectacular phenomenon that is a solar eclipse, like the one that will cross America on August 21st, or its paler but still lovely cousin, the lunar eclipse. But in the context of the cosmos, all the term eclipse means is one cosmic body moving in front of another, at least partly obscuring it. In our own solar system, the planets are forever eclipsing the sun, depending on your point of view in space, while the moons are forever eclipsing the planets. The Kepler Space Telescope, which has been in solar orbit since 2009, has discovered thousands of distant planets by looking for what are essentially mini-eclipses, the dimming of light that occurs when the planet passes in front of its parent star. Those eclipses are hardly total. The dimming is the equivalent of removing a single light bulb from a board of 10,000 bulbs, but it can be enough to prove the existence of a world where once we knew of none. Such distant eclipses don't make for very pretty pictures, or any really, but the ones around our own parent star do. Our solar system has always been an ongoing display of stunning visual arts. The secret is knowing where to take your seat.
Here's how many nuclear weapons the U.S. has, by Alana Abramson. North Korea on Wednesday threatened to attack the U.S. territory of Guam, the latest in a series of mutual provocations as tensions between the two countries continue to escalate. That development came after President Donald Trump said Tuesday that North Korea, quote, will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen if it continues its aggressive behavior. Trump followed up on Wednesday in a series of tweets boasting about the U.S. nuclear arsenal. My first order as president was to renovate and modernize our nuclear arsenal. It is now far stronger and more powerful than ever before, he tweeted. Hopefully, we will never have to use this power, but there will never be a time that we are not the most powerful nation in the world. Here's what you need to know about the size and reach of the American nuclear arsenal. How many nuclear weapons does the U.S. have? As of July 8, the United States has 6,800 warheads, according to data from Hans Christensen and Robert Norris at the Federation of American Scientists. 2,800 of them are retired, 4,000 are stockpiled, and 1,800 are deployed. The total number of U.S. warheads is second only to Russia, which currently has 7,000 of them. Aside from North Korea, the other nuclear powers have between 80 and 300 warheads each and 1,135 in total. As of July, North Korea was thought to have the material for a maximum of 20 warheads. It was previously thought that North Korea lacked the technical sophistication to make nuclear warheads small enough to be delivered via long-range missile. But as Kelsey Davenport, the director for non-proliferation policy at the Arms Control Association, explains, U.S. intelligence officials believe that's no longer the case, as reported by The Washington Post on Tuesday. North Korea has been developing the capability to put a nuclear warhead on the tip of a ballistic missile for years, and what yesterday's intelligence assessment indicates is that the United States now thinks North Korea has achieved this capability, said Davenport. Essentially, the United States is assessing that North Korea can put a warhead onto a ballistic missile and actually deliver it. How far can U.S. nuclear weapons reach? Davenport estimates that the range of a U.S. intercontinental ballistic missile exceeds 10,000 kilometers, or approximately 6,213 miles. U.S. ballistic missiles are extremely reliable and very accurate, and some of these weapons can be launched within minutes, she explained. That differs quite a bit from North Korea, where their missiles are unreliable. They are inaccurate. North Korea has only in July tested a ballistic missile that's capable of reaching the United States. Which other countries have nuclear weapons? 9 countries have or are believed to have nuclear arsenals, according to the Arms Control Association: the United States, Russia, the United Kingdom, France, Israel, Pakistan, India, China, and North Korea. The United States developed and used the first nuclear weapons in 1945 when they dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of World War II. This act fueled the start of the arms race, a competition between the United States and the Soviet Union for the most effective and largest number of nuclear arms. In 1970, just 8 years after the Cuban Missile Crisis provoked fears of nuclear war, the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, or NPT, was ratified. It was extended indefinitely in 1995. Under the treaty, the 5 permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, China, France, Russia, the United States, and the United Kingdom, were acknowledged as nuclear powers. Other countries that joined the treaty agreed not to pursue nuclear weapons development, although they are allowed to use nuclear technology for non-military purposes, like scientific research. Israel, India, and Pakistan never signed the treaty. Although Israel does not officially acknowledge their arsenal, the country is believed to possess approximately 80 warheads. North Korea signed the treaty but withdrew in 2003. Certainly, North Korea's decision to leave the treaty and pursue nuclear weapons does weaken the treaty, says Davenport. It's critical that the United States and the broader international community try to ensure that North Korea does not proliferate its nuclear technology to any other state or non-state actors. You asked, how many calories does sex burn? By Markham Hyde. Of all the ways a person could sweat, a roll in the hay is one of the most fun. But does sex actually burn a good number of calories? Not as many as you think, but you can up your burn by doing it a certain way. One study found that sex burned more than 100 calories, at least for men. A team from the University of Montreal compared the calorie expenditure of running to that of sex and found that, no surprise, running far outpaced the latter. Women burned an average of 213 calories during 30 minutes of light running, while men burned 276. Sex, on the other hand, demanded 101 calories from men and just 69 from women, burning an average of 3.6 calories per minute. Why was sex a better workout for the guys? Men weigh more than women, and because of this, the energy expenditure will be higher in men for the same exercise performed, says study author Anthony Karelis, a professor of human kinetics at the University of Montreal. Men may also be more physically active during sex, he says. Even though sex is not the world's best workout, it would still be nice if you could count on scorching 70 to 100 calories whenever you and your partner hopped in the sack. But you can't always depend on it. Sex sessions in that study typically lasted 25 minutes, including foreplay, which is far longer than average. One study in the New England Journal of Medicine found that the average bout of sex lasts just 6 minutes, although that number did not include foreplay. The bedmates in the study, who were 23 years old on average, may also have been having more vigorous sex than the typical person. A study in American Journal of Cardiology found that the pre-orgasmic stage of sex, which, let's face it, is most of it, requires barely more energy than you'd get walking. Especially among older couples in long-term relationships, sex is unlikely to crank your heart rate or energy output. However, you can hack your sex life. The number of calories burned during sex varies widely from one session to another, Karela says. So if you're sweating and breathing hard at the end of it, you've probably burned more. Positions also matter. Research suggests that being on top requires more energy than being on the bottom. Though we're not suggesting it, sex with a forbidden mate may also increase your calorie burn. One study in the European Heart Journal found that 75% of sudden deaths from a heart attack during sex involved an extramarital partner. Exciting sex seems to crank your heart rate more than a run-of-the-mill romp, and so may provide a better workout. But even if your sex life doesn't burn a ton of calories, it's still great for you. Regular sex is linked with lower rates of some cancers, as well as improved mental health and mood. Because it sends relaxing, feel-good chemicals throughout your system, sex also promotes sleep. Those should be all the reasons you need to get it on more often. You can always go for a run afterwards. Paul Manafort's home was raided by FBI agents. Here's What That Could Mean, by Emma Tolkoff. Investigators for Special Counsel Robert Mueller carried out an early morning search on the home of former Donald Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort last month. FBI agents seized documents and other materials related to taxes and foreign banking in the unannounced raid. The move, which required a federal magistrate judge to approve a search warrant based on probable cause that evidence of a crime could be found in Manafort's home, is a sign that the investigation is intensifying, legal experts say. The search also indicates that Manafort may be in a tenuous position with prosecutors. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney Renato Mariotti says that the issuing of a warrant is a sign of significant heat from the prosecution and might indicate that Manafort has not flipped or revealed damning evidence about other witnesses. At this point, he is not on the government's team, so to speak, Mariotti said. Jonathan Turley, a law professor at George Washington University, agrees that the search means prosecutors are ratcheting up the pressure on Manafort. The decision to call for a search is a highly public and isolating way of seeking out evidence, he said. This indicates that the special counsel is putting this relationship on a more antagonistic or oppositional basis, Turley said. This is not something that you do with a cooperative witness. The looming prospect of criminal charges, bolstered by evidence gathered in a raid, said Turley, could push a witness to be more forthcoming, or the president to exercise pardon power, which could undercut the investigation. The fact that a search was deemed necessary is especially revealing because the grand jury convened by Mueller last week already has the power to acquire documents through subpoenas. If prosecutors suspect that a witness is not producing subpoenaed documents in their entirety, or that they are altering or even destroying requested documents, a search warrant can provide a solution. A search could also circumvent a witness pleading the Fifth Amendment to keep from procuring documents for a subpoena. And, Mariotti said, a raid can provide additional details about how documents are kept or maintained that can be useful in an investigation. For example, if documents were intentionally moved from an office to Manafort's home, that could be revealing. Manafort, who served as Trump's campaign manager for several months, turned over documents to the Senate Judiciary and Intelligence Committees last month. The act of carrying out a search on a witness is a powerful psychological tool that can prompt a witness to become more forthcoming or name more targets. It's a sign that lack of cooperation from the witness won't be taken lightly. The more isolated a target feels, the more likely they will cooperate, Turley said. Nothing concentrates the mind of a target more than a pre-dawn, unannounced raid on his home.
What Solar Eclipses Have Taught Us About the Universe, by Amy Shira Title. Total solar eclipses, like the one that will cross the U.S. on August 21st, have captured the attention of astronomers throughout history, and have often led to advances in our understanding of how the universe works. Astronomers have been studying solar eclipses for centuries. In the late 16th and early 17th centuries, Danish astronomer Tycho Brahe and his apprentice German astronomer Johannes Kepler studied eclipses to try to arrive at a rough estimate of the moon's diameter. In the 19th century, eclipse observations got even more interesting, thanks in large part to advances in scientific instruments like telescopes and spectrometers, devices that let scientists analyze the chemistry of stars and distant planets. In 1868, French astronomer Jules Janssen and English astronomer Norman Lockyer were observing separate solar eclipses when they discovered a new element, which they named Helios, after the Greek word for sun. Today, it's known as helium. During an eclipse in 1879, American astronomer Charles Augustus Young and Scotland-born astronomer William Harkness both thought they had discovered another new element. But they had actually observed exceptionally hot iron in the sun's corona, the sun's outer atmosphere. This was the first indication that the corona is millions of degrees hotter than the sun's surface, a mystery that puzzles astronomers to this day. Perhaps the most interesting eclipse-based discovery came in 1919. Albert Einstein's theory of general relativity was still being met with skepticism. Under this theory, big gravitational masses like stars and planets warped the fabric of space-time, bending light as it travels through the universe. Einstein didn't have a way of proving it, but luckily, Sir Frank Watson Dyson, the Astronomer Royal of Britain at the time, a senior post in the royal households of the UK, came up with a solution. He plotted the positions of stars that would be near the sun's limb or edge before a solar eclipse, then measured their positions again during the eclipse. He found that the stars' positions had changed. The only explanation was that the mass of the sun was bending space-time and curving the star's light. They looked to be in different positions, but it was really an effect of the sun's mass. It was proof Einstein was right. So when you watch the eclipse on August 21st, which will be visible in parts of 14 states as a total solar eclipse, and in the rest of the country as a partial solar eclipse, it's a good moment to remember the cosmic events history of illuminating our place in space.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Harvey Kojan, and you've been listening to the daily edition of Times the Brief. To get this sent to your inbox every morning, go to time.com/thebrief. You can also subscribe through iTunes or your favorite podcast app. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the day.